things, five things that we're talking about in this series, five things that you need to know. They're going to come up on screen. I'm going to quickly run through them before we get into the word. Number one, every believer had the Holy Spirit living in our, has the Holy Spirit living in our heart, and he transforms us to be like Jesus. Number two, he comes upon us through the baptism in the Holy Spirit for the sake of others. It's not about you. It's never been about you. It's always about everybody else. Number three, there are nine gifts of the Holy Spirit listed in 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to talk about some of them tonight. Number four, the purpose of these gifts is to build up and strengthen others. And number five, we can earnestly seek more gifts, especially prophecy. Tonight, we're going to continue talking about the power gifts. And I'm so excited about this, the gift of faith, healings, and miracles. And so with that in mind, I want you to write down the title of my message. I encourage you to take notes because if you're anything like me, you'll forget everything. You can write down the title of the message. And tonight, I want to talk to you about power in a pizza box. Power in a pizza box. And by the end of tonight, I'm believing that we're for those who want it, for those who are hungry, you're going to get a gift of faith download. That you're going to walk out of here like turbocharged. We're going to see healings and miracles tonight by faith, I believe. But man, I'm excited to see what God is going to do. Power in a pizza box. Let's quickly pray and then we'll get into the word. Father, I thank you for your presence. It's already here. I pray tonight, God, Lord, that you would help me stay focused on the things you want me to say. I pray, God, tonight that we would have ears to hear and eyes to see. But God, more than anything else, Jesus, get bigger. Get bigger in our world. Help us get smaller. I thank you in advance for what you're going to do tonight. And Jesus, we give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor because you are worthy of it all. And the church said, amen. 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 Thank you. We have been in Australia for 7 weeks. We used to live in New Zealand and we just moved here 7 weeks ago. And so, you know, when you move, you probably haven't done that before. I was going to say, you know, when you move countries just casually, you know, but when you move countries, you got to get all the basics sorted. You know, you got to get all the stuff in order. You got to get a house. You got to get power. You got to get internet. You got to get all the essentials, a phone plan, a car. Of course, the next thing on the list of the essentials is an annual pass to Movie World. You know what I'm saying? Like, we gotta get the essentials sorted. So we did that. And so my wife and I, Bowden gets in for free. And so that's wonderful. But we went the other week and we went to Movie World with some friends of ours that flew from New Zealand to hang out. And we were there hanging out. And theme parks as a father is a different experience, especially of a 5-month-old. You know, like, pretty restricting. In fact, some of the best rides were the ones that I watched as I just rocked them in the pram to sleep and let them go on the ride. But there were some rides that I did get to go on, and there were some rides that really tested my faith. I don't know if you can see that huge roller coaster, the DC Rivals one, the Joker one, on the motorway. Oh, my goodness. If you think that... Pastor John told me, he was like, look, I think you've got the gift of faith on your life. I'd love you to come and pray. Honestly, on that ride, I definitely didn't think I had the gift of faith at all. I was stressed. Like, I was doubting I was going to come off that thing alive. The reason why was because it broke down 3 times while I was waiting for the ride to get on. I was like, nah, this is crazy. Like, what are we doing? This is, bring me Bowden in the pre. You know, like, that's more my ride. What made it worse was that they were like, you know, the people who work there, that didn't make it worse, to be fair. Let me just get to the end of the sentence. But, you know, you get people who work there, they're like teenagers, and they like come up and down the line like, oh, just to let you know, the ride's broken at the moment. We're trying to fix it. We don't know when it's going to get going. It's like, wonderful. Your voice is broken too. I don't even know if you know how to fix the ride. You know what I'm saying? Like, then there was this old man, like Gandalf the Grey, that popped out, and he I'm so grateful for old people. He gave me so much confidence. Just, he went and fixed the ride. We went on it. I didn't die. Praise God. I'm here in the flesh. But there are moments in life where you have to apply faith. We actually put faith in a lot of things naturally without God even being involved. For example, when you get on an airplane, you put faith in the pilot that you've never met to fly you from one place. That's crazy. Like, have you thought about that? Like, I just assume because he's got a thing, like his hat, you know, that he knows what he's doing. You know, that's crazy. You put faith in the person who made your car that the brakes are not going to fail. You know, like, I just trust that they knew what they were doing until the cars get recalled and then everything's in question. You know, like, we put faith that when you order pizza, that when it comes in the box, it's going to be the right pizza that you ordered. You put faith in the Domino's worker that they know what they're going to do, you know? You put faith in the McDonald's worker, the teenager who's working in McDonald's, when you get your McDonald's order, your McNuggets, that they didn't pick their nose before they picked your nuggets, you know what I'm saying? You put high faith, high trust, high confidence in their ability to do their job. The thing about faith really is about confidence. That's what faith is. Faith is confidence. And we place so much confidence in things every single day. But the gift of faith is different to the faith that we have. It's more than just having confidence. That's a new tongue language I'm just experimenting with. Praise God. The gift of faith is defined as this. It's going to come up on the screen. Being firmly persuaded of God's power to accomplish his will and to display confidence that is not swayed by circumstances. That's the gift of faith. It's the sense of like, I am firmly persuaded about God's power. My confidence in God is not shaken by the circumstances that surround me. The gift of faith and these power gifts are mentioned in that passage of scripture in 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to know this so well by the end of our time in the series. I'm going to read it to us from the NLT because it's just spicy. So let's read that. It says this in verse 7, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And someone else, the Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. Verse 11 says, it is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. When it comes to the power gift, when it comes to these power gifts, these faith, miracles, and healing giftings, all three are really intertwined with the central theme being this gift of faith. If you want to step into a season of seeing miracles, signs, and wonders, you cannot do it without the gift of faith. So let's define what faith is, because if we need faith, the gift of faith, to operate in these power miracles, we probably need to know what they are. So let's have a look at what faith is. Faith in the Greek is this word. Now, I promise you, I listened to this 1,000 times. I'm not saying anything inappropriate today, but it's going to come up on screen. This is what the word is. It's this word, pistis. Now, seriously, let's behave. We're all adults in the room, okay? This is not the youth room. Sir, I see you. Hold it together. Let the joy of the Lord come forth, brother. Let it flow. It's this word that means conviction of the truth of anything. It's belief. Now, the root word of this word, pistis, you can't keep saying that twice as we're getting close to the line, is this root word, pytho. And it's this root word of this word, faith, and it means to be persuaded or to believe. I've got this as well for you to come up on screen so you can see it and write it down if you're that way inclined. Meaning to be persuaded or to believe. See, it's important to understand that every Christian has faith. We have to have faith to be a Christian. You can't not have faith. In fact, it's only by faith that we are saved. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is a gift from God." We need faith to be saved, but we also need faith to live as Christians in our daily lives. Romans 1, verse 17 says, "This good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life." Every Christian has faith, but not every Christian has the gift of faith. But the gift of faith is simply an increase of faith in greater measure. We all have a baseline of faith, but the gift of faith is this supernatural boldness based in the conviction and confidence in the character of God and his word. That's what the gift of faith is. It's the supernatural boldness that we base in the conviction and confidence in the character of God and in his word. And it's this gift of faith that actually empowers us to be able to step out of our comfort zone and to start seeing miracles, signs, and wonders taking place on the earth. Why don't we see gifts like miracles, signs, and wonders happening like we do in biblical days? Because the further we get away from the cross and what Jesus did for us on the cross, the more our faith gets thinner and thinner. In fact, I would challenge us as a church, you don't have as much faith as you think that you do. Hear that with respect. But Jesus says to his disciples, if you have even a mustard seed of faith, then you can speak to the mountain. He's saying, guys, you don't even have a mustard seed of faith. If he's saying it to his disciples, how hard is it just to get a mustard seed of faith? But the gift of faith is something we can ask for, be given, because we base our confidence, our hope, our desire in God's character and of His Word. And it's when we have the gift of faith that we can then step out into the gift of healing. The gift of healing is defined as the ability to drive out or cure someone of a disease that's beyond the means of natural intervention. That's what the gift of healing is. It's to say, yep, the doctor said that, but we're going to believe God that the healing power of heaven is going to invade earth and turn this situation around. The gift of healing is activated by the faith of the carrier and the faith of the receiver. You have to have faith, but so too does the person you're praying for have to have faith that it's going to happen. It's the ability to look at a situation and not just see God's redemptive healing hand at work, but also speak it out. What do I mean by that? Well, we have to understand that God is not, it's not like when we're praying for healing, we're trying to convince God to heal a person. Like, the question is not, is God willing? That's the answer to that is always yes. How do I know that? Well, in Matthew 8, 1 to 3, Jesus has this situation that we're going to read together. It says, large crowds followed Jesus as he came down the mountainside. Suddenly, a man with leprosy approached him and knelt before him. Lord, the man said, if you're willing, you can heal me. If you're willing, you can heal me and make me clean. I love this. Jesus reached out and touched him. I am willing, he said, be healed. And instantly, the leprosy disappeared. Don't you love that about Jesus? I am willing, be healed. I am willing, be healed. Friend, when you're praying for someone to get healed, it's not a conversation of, oh Lord, if you're willing, oh, would you please, pretty please with a cherry on top, like please. It's not like that. It's like, you are willing, so be healed. You are willing, so I stand on the confidence of your word and I declare healing now in the name of Jesus. See, this is the thing. We speak it out, what God has already said that he will do. And it's as we speak that we see the healing balm of Gilead at work in people's lives. The gift of healing, though, is different to the gift of miracles. I think this is a really important delineation to break out, that there's actually something different about miracles to healing. Yeah. The gift of miracles is defined as this. Supernatural, this is a long definition, okay, but let's roll with it together. Supernatural occurrences or events that go beyond natural laws or the ordinary course of nature. Miracles may affect nature, time, or the spiritual realm and typically reveal the majesty of God. They display God's authority over our world and draw people to himself. Healing is about restoring health. That's what the gift of healing is about. But the gift of miracles are about a release of his supernatural hand on the earth. Miracles are seen throughout Scripture. You just have to open your Bible and have a look. Jesus feeds 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Every youth pastor on the face of the earth wants that kind of miracle every Friday night because the budgets are too small. Come on, somebody, you know what I'm saying? Like, please take this week-old Domino's pizza from last week and bless them. You know, like, when Jesus walks on the water with Peter, that's a gift of miracles. That's the miracle, the gift of miracles at work. I don't know if you've thought about that, but that's a really interesting moment. Like, I want to know, how did Jesus actually walk on the water? Like, because the Bible says there's a storm going on, right? Like, it's a crazy storm, and they freak out because they think it's a ghost. Does Jesus just like, how does he walk on the water? Is it like, behold, it is me, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you know? I'm on the waves. Or that, I just popped both my ankles. That was really, I need the gift of healing right now. Or was it more like, behold, it is I, Jesus? You know, like, is it like, I don't know how it worked, but what I do know is that he did it. You know what I'm saying? In fact, that's actually how all miracles happen. I don't know how he does it. I don't know why he does for some and why he doesn't for others. But what I do know is that when God is on the move, miracles start breaking out. We start to see things happen that we couldn't have seen before without God's intervention. Moses parting the Red Sea. That's crazy. The crazy bit, though, is more the timing of the clothes. You know, like, that's wild. All the Egyptians, you know, horses and chariots, charge, you know, death, you know, like crazy. Like, that's crazy. Guys, we've got to understand that God's not done working miracles today. There's this sort of, like, doctrinal thought out there at the moment called sensationalism. Oh, well, miracles were only supposed to happen with the apostles. And now that the apostles are all dead, we're out of miracles. Now, tough luck. Sensationalism is simply a fancy word for a lack of faith. That's all that it is. Get it right. Miracles are still for today. Miracles are for the here and now. Healings are for the here and now. You just have to have faith. I remember as an intern, young guy, 21 years old, I was on holiday in a place in New Zealand called Taupo, and it's by Mount Rupert. You probably call it Taupo, but the politically correct, or the actual, just the correct way to say it is Taupo, and like Taupo. That's how I remember it. Hey, don't judge me, you gotta do what you gotta do, you know? But I was walking around the lake, and as I was walking, I was listening to worship music. I was like, man, God, like, I don't know. I just feel like there's faith that's building on the inside of me. I reckon like miracles could happen through my life. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, grab that stick. I was like, ooh, let's go. So I grabbed that stick. I had my AirPods in, but they weren't AirPods. They were still with the cable because we hadn't eventuated that far into history yet. And I grabbed the stick and I rolled up my pants. I was like, you know, roll them up. I'm going to wade in the water. Wade in the water. Wade in the water. And I was like, I don't know why I'm singing that song, but I'm here. You know, like, and I was like, I probably should sing a more Christian song. Lead me out upon the waters, you know. And I start stepping out into the water with the stick in my hand. I'm like, okay, imagine what they're going to write about me. Imagine what they're going to say about me. Little boy Harry Slade with a stick in his hand and faith in his heart. You know, I was like, I was gearing myself up. I was like, let's go. Positive self-talk. Come on, somebody, write it on your mirror. You are loved today. You know, like, okay. So I had my stick in my hand. And I was my big toe was in. You know, like, here we go. I was like, and I was like, I don't know, like, did Moses have this big speech that he did? So I just started speaking, you know. I take this territory for the glory of the Lord. Riders of Rohan, you know, like I just started like, for Aragon and my stick, you know, like, okay. And so I'm in the water and I'm literally counting down in my head. I'm like, the water's going to, maybe the water's just going to recede. Maybe it's going to part. I don't know what's going to happen. But by faith, I'm putting the stick in the water. And I lifted the stick above my head and I was like, deliver us to the promised land. It takes a couple of seconds, you know? Checking to make sure no one was looking, you know, because this is an awkward moment now. I've sung a lot of songs, you know, like, nothing happened. I was disappointed. And the Holy Spirit said, I just told you to get the stick. And I was like, yeah, I was just filling in the faith gaps, Lord, you know, like, I'm ready to go. You know, you want to, this is what I wrote this down in my journal that day. I only asked you to get the stick. You didn't listen and you acted on your own accord. That miracle happened to set people free. It won't happen for you because you're after a spectacle for yourself. Good game. Left the stick behind, walked away. People, when I got home, they were like, how's your afternoon? Really good. Yeah, no, so I mean, it was really good. What happened? Honestly, nothing. Oh, yeah, just was walking around the water, you know, really inspired. But here's the thing. The problem is that we make too much of a spectacle for ourselves out of the miraculous. I don't think God moves when it's all about you. Could I just reframe? He does not move when it's all about you. Part of the problem is we pray for a miracle, either of healing or of some sort of miraculous provision. But look at the Bible. Like the Holy Spirit said to me that day, that these miracles were done to set people free, to bless people. It was never about the person performing the miracle. Now, look, do whatever you want to do, post it on social media, you know, but I think some of those dudes that are out here, like, casting out demons and getting people to roll around the whole room 12 laps, you know, it's not the walls of Jericho, you know, I just need to do it. Don't even do that, not even once. I think sometimes we make a spectacle out of these things, we're actually taking the glory for ourselves and not giving it back to God. But if we want to see miracles, if we want to see healings take place, we have to do two things. We have to, number one, swallow our pride and not make it about us. The second thing we have to do is we have to swallow our pride and stop being so scared to take a step of faith. Pastor Roderick, you can come back and Bishop Rodri, Spirit Fingers, hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I love pizza. Anybody love pizza? Yeah. Little guilty pleasure, you know? It's called a spirit of gluttony. We're going to pray for that. No, just kidding. I'm not ready for that sort of deliverance yet. I love pizza so much. Like, I love it. Like, I think if I had a love language, it would be pizza. Like, if you want to get to my heart, pizza's the way you get there. Like, just take me for a gourmet pizza. I love it. If you were to list all the things you... In fact, let me just get the pizza. I love pizza. Like, oh, it's so good. This is still a bit warm. This is exciting. Help deliver hope. Well, that's a nice message from Domino's. You know how good? Convenient. Not part of the message. Don't get distracted. I love pizza. Like... how good? You know what I'm saying? Like, come on now, somebody. Like, I think if you were to list all the things you love about pizza, you'd probably say the cheese. You know what I'm saying? Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Write it down. I think I'd talk about the tomato base, you know? More of a barbecue guy myself, but that's okay, you know? Like, we're all humble out here. Personally, I love a deep dish, you know what I'm saying? More bang for your buck. That's smart. That's just smart when your budget's tight. Cost of living, you know? I love pizza. So much. But if you were to ask everybody what their favorite part of pizza was, I bet you nobody says the box. I bet you no one says, oh, I love the box. Did you say that? Yeah. We'll get you some counseling. It's okay. It'll be on the church. We'll cover it. It's deep. It's confusing. It's okay. You'll make it. I bet you nobody apart from this one young man says, you've ruined the message. Other than him, I'm going to go this side.
Is gluten-free makes sense?
Oh, you're gluten-free. Come out of them, foul spirit of gluten. Receive the yeast in Jesus' name. Is that what gluten is? I don't know. Is that? Anyway, I'm not sure. It's not? Okay, don't receive the yeast. I rebuke the yeast. You don't need it. A little bit of yeast spoils the whole dough. So we rebuke yeast and we say no. Glory, hallelujah. Move on. Nobody says they love the box. Nobody, I wouldn't. Harry Slade wouldn't say that my most favorite thing about the pizza is the box. The power of the pizza is in the box. But it's not the box. It's in the box. You got to understand that you are not the pizza. You're just the box. You and I are just the box. We are not something special. Our life is just a vapor. That's it. That was it. That was you. And if you were lucky, I mouthwashed before the service and you kind of smelled nice. But if you were unlucky, GG. You know what I'm saying? Like, good luck on Judgment Day. It's an awkward time. You were quite smelly on the earth. You know, I'm so sorry. The power is simply delivered in the box. How do you know it's going to be a good pizza? What's inside the box? The box is a little bit warm. You get it? It's always worse than it's cold. I don't like Uber Eats. I think it's a scam. Don't do it. Just get in your car and go get your own. You know what I'm saying? Like, plus, it's cheaper. Anyway, write that down. I was going to set somebody free. You get the box and you're like, it's warm, you know? I know it's going to be good. You get the box and there's just a little bit of oil starting to seep through because it's so disgustingly good, you know? Like, but you can see the oil coming through the box because you know it's hot, it's fresh. Friend, you need the fire of God. You need, when people get around you, do they feel the heat coming off of you from the fire that's on the inside of you? Do they feel that warmth? Do they see the oil glistening on your forehead? Do they feel the power of God living on the inside of you? My friend, you're not the main event. You're just a pizza box designed to deliver the glory of God to the face of the earth. Oh, Harry, I could never pray for a healing. Oh, Harry, you don't understand. I could never do anything great for God. No, because you think you're the pizza. But the moment you realize my job is simply to say, God, who would you like me to deliver yourself to? Here I am delivering hope every day. That's just convenient, but help deliver hope. At the end of my life, I'm going to go to the recycling. At the end of my life, No one will talk about how good the box was. And if they do, they were more focused on the box than the pizza. Our problem is we lift up these guys, these women of faith, because they've got more faith than us, and we go, wow, they must have it all together. Celebrity culture is not because of the pastor, it's because of the people in the pew. Because instead of the people in the pew being filled with faith, we outsource all the miracles, signs, and wonders to those with the microphone and go, wow, they're amazing. Friend, you're supposed to be the pizza box too. You're supposed to be the one that people can open up and enjoy a healthy slice of deep, not even deep fried, oven baked. That's how healthy it is. And if my wife was here, I'd be set free. There's power in the pizza box. You can take it. You can take it from me. Enjoy that. Not you, though. You can't have it. You enjoy the box. Take it home with you. Put it on your wall if that's what you do. I don't know. It's up to you. As I bring this to a close, I just want to share some testimonies of things that I've seen to stir your faith. Honestly, guys, I wouldn't say of myself that I'm the gift of faith guy. I wouldn't. I get worried about things. I get nervous about things. But yet God has just been increasing. I prayed for a woman with a closed ear. She was an old woman, closed ear. She couldn't hear out of that ear. We prayed, laid hands. It was three of us. We prayed hands. The ear opened up. She could hear. She wasn't able to hear for most of her life. She could hear again. Another older woman, I think it was her left eye, was clouded over. You could literally see the clouding in her eye. What do you want? Like, she's like, pizza. No, she's like, I want to see. So we laid hands, we prayed. After the first prayer, the clouding started to shift, but we went again because she couldn't fully see, so we prayed again. The clouding, after the third time of praying, she could see out of that eye, crystal clear, better than the eye that she'd been seeing through her whole entire life. I'm just the pizza box. I'm just the pizza box. We had a young leader who was at our conference, and she had nerve damage. She was in the dance team as well. She had nerve damage to the right-hand side of her back, and she was like limping around the room, but she was going to go to hospital, but the Lord said, no, you need to go to the session, and you need to get prayer. So she came with faith. I got her to stand in the middle of 370 intermediate preteen kids, and they all reached out their hands, started praying in tongues. Her back was fully healed. She was dancing on main stage that night. We're just the pizza box. The power is in the pizza box. I was in Singapore doing a kids camp there. One of the leaders in the pre-service rally had a word of knowledge. Someone here has got some sort of neck damage. They can't sleep at night. Turned out to be one of the staff of the kids camp. We prayed for her. That night as she slept, she woke up, no issue in her neck. She was fully healed. Here's a crazy thing. Her husband, who had an issue with his knee, also woke up fully able to move his knee, because the anointing oil, once it gets on someone, it can transfer to someone else. I'm just a pizza box. The power is in the pizza box. I was in Toowoomba. I didn't even know that was a place. I was in Toowoomba. Confused. But there was a young girl who'd come to the youth meeting. She stayed at the back of the room the entire time. She was the last one to get prayer. She came with crutches. She was in a cast. She was wrapped up all the way up her leg. I was like, what's wrong? A hockey ball had broken tissue inside her foot. She was playing hockey. It was the finals the next week. She desperately wanted to play. And so I said, do you have faith to be healed? I reckon God could. I don't want to lay hands on your feet, though. Gross. But we can pray and we can believe. And after three times of praying, she was able to walk and put pressure on that foot. She went climbing up the mountain in Toowoomba the next day. She's crazy, wild woman. She went up the mountain. She sent me a message on Instagram. She said, it's like my foot is better than it was before. She played in the final the following week and she won. I'm just a pizza box. I'm just a pizza box. The power is in the pizza box. My son shouldn't be alive. I technically don't have the sperm to be able to make a baby. We tried for 2 years. We tried. I did my part. But the doctor, everything we tried to do to lift the sperm count up, we just couldn't do it. The doctor was like, I just don't think it's going to happen. We'll put you on the list of IVF. And I was like, okay, that sounds like we could do that. That sounds good. IVF sounds, what is that? You know, I was like, I don't even know what that is, you know? And they're like, oh, it's this process, blah, 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 blah. Honestly, Harry, don't put your hope in the IVF. It probably won't work, but I just want you to know that we're going to do that anyway. It's covered by the government in New Zealand, so we're going to do it. But I was like crazy, wild. Holding my wife in my hands every month, knowing that I'm the problem, that's a pretty hard place to be for your faith. I remember having the conversation with my wife saying, babe, What if it doesn't happen? With tears in her eyes, she looked at me and she was like, don't say that. Have faith. I was like, it's actually genuinely not a faith thing for me. Like, I believe God's going to do it, but what if he doesn't? Like, what's our response going to be? I've done kids ministry for years and years, never once wanting to do it. Like, I've never wanted to be there. I remember, God, I've served your children and you won't give me one of my own. And I remember in that moment, we sat there for an hour just crying together, worship music on. I eventually just was like, okay, enough. Our response will be this. If God doesn't give us a child, we will still continue to serve the next generation, because it was never about us. It was always about him. We cried and we prayed and we said, Lord, we surrender our lives to you again. Whatever you do, up to you. Annalise had a vision of our son. She knew it was going to happen. We were in London. We prayed together with Pastor David Hall, one of my mentors, outside the Arsenal Stadium. I bought an Arsenal kids jersey in faith, and we all held hands together. He said, mark my words, this time next year, you'll be holding your son in your hands. That is healing. That is a miracle, because the following year, we had Bowden Samuel in our arms, weeping in the hospital as God made a way where there wasn't a way. Pastor Dave was just a pizza box. I'm just a pizza box. It's not about me, and it's not about you. It's about Jesus. He is the power. He is the power. He always has been. He always will be. The power is in the pizza box. And if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus, to be straight up, the gifts don't even matter. The greatest gift you could ever receive is a relationship with Jesus, the forgiveness of your sin. The empowerment to live a life to the full. Jesus said this when he was on the earth. Crazy. In John 10:10, he